So he comes to me, just put my head, every month of Shabbos he wants, I really should have a Seder in time. It's fine. But the Shabbos I'll have a Seder in time. So we sit down, first month of Shabbos, we begin learning Tanya. Now, I can just tell you one thing. That is a very difficult paper to understand. I spent 6 weeks every month at Shabbos trying to understand the first, who knows what. I didn't have a clue what it was talking about. So at the end of 6 weeks, we look at each other. He's trying to turn me into a chassid, and I'm just trying to see if I understand any books at all. And I said, as much as I don't understand, it's one thing I certainly don't understand. I have all these little kids running around with this book trying to say they understand it. That I certainly don't understand. Now, so the universe, the Shashim Abration, is the day, period of time, when you're talking about a period of time when everything was absolutely chaotic. And the rules of nature that we have today simply did not prevail then. So to date and to measure within that, we don't have any measurements. Measure because all the measuring sticks we use are coming into being. There's no way to measure that time, except to say, as the Ramban says, there's a certain clock out there, independent of the physical Bria, that's measuring by that clock standard what's happening in Shashim Abration. And that goes into understanding that measuring time. I mean, a very profound issue in Kabbalah before the Ari and after the Ari, with the Zaya, without the Zaya. And that's why when they talk about the age of the universe, yes. What does the age of the universe in scientific terms mean? And that's all it means, nothing more. Assuming that the Ramban is wrong, and assuming that the laws of nature split into two periods of time. One during Shashim Abration when the universe is emerging, and one after Shashim Abration when the universe is fixed in position. Assuming the Ramban is wrong, and assuming that the Medrash is wrong, that during the marble, except for inside the table, all the laws of nature were changed and there was a total chaos in the laws of nature. Assuming these two facts are wrong, then we want to date things, then that's how we date. Now even scientists, when they come up with dating things, run into a problem with the Big Bang. Because before Hawking came along and the idea was an oscillating universe, then, okay, it always existed. But there's a very profound issue that was confounded. If all of a sudden all of the matter in the universe was concentrated in one big block together, and then all of a sudden, boom, there was a big bang that exploded it. So some wise guy says, okay, what happened a second before that that made this whole thing go bang? You know what the scientific answer is? Well, when the thing just burst out with a bang, that's when time began. An idea of time beginning. And so you cannot ask what happened a second before time began. That's when time began. Now, then they realize that's not really very scientific, but that's the way the world of science works today. And you get down, in the end, it's not very scientific. So, yes, something happened, of course. A culture cannot say, well, there's a Boreola who just went bang. That, you know, that would make them very uncomfortable and sort of squirm in their seats. But if you can't, and they say, well, the question's just not a question, because there's no such thing as a second before, because time since existed, so the whole thing went bang. Now, when the thing went bang, so what happened? Anyone says, well, that's what, there was absolute chaos. How long was there chaos? How long did it take until scientific law sort of set the play? Well, no one knows. We say that finished when Vayakulu Hashemayim Yaharet Bepol Bepol. Now, we will wait. We'll stop here. Mir Hashem will continue. הקולות החיות אשר טוב כל הבהמה אשר על הארץ. All my present parts, בהשת הפרוטות, בעל הסגל בבהמה, לא טוב טוב. Any animal, my precious parts. What does my precious parts to me? The hook zealous milamahalo umilamat. It slid straight through. Malas gave about the hema. The animal is a mala gave. What does mala gave mean? Rashi says, mala. Mekiyo, okum and meyeho. My levers also took the off. The kosho, the tokon of the head. There are different types of animals. The type of animal that would call in general English an animal choose its cut. That means as follows, and why that is very simple. Human beings do not eat grass. Grass has certain parts in it that are very difficult to digest. Human beings eating grass will not be able to digest. Animals that eat grass, or is born from the infinite wisdom, provided animals with that eat grass with a digestive system. That digestive system that handles it in a cow, what happens is as follows. A cow has four stomachs. The cow eats the grass, goes into stomach number one. It begins the breaking down process that's necessary for digestion. After passing through a certain number of stages, it brings it up into its mouth. Now, it can chew it much more thoroughly and goes through a very thorough chewing of it. Puts it down into stomach number two. Goes through the next digestive process. Brings it up, chews it again. Now, it can chew even better. Et cetera, et cetera. By the time it goes the final through thing, it's broken down with all the bacteria, acids, chewing process of saliva and gastric fluid, which now can go through the system and the cow can get all of its nutrients out of this grass. That is how a cow chews its food. So Rashi says, Ma'alat Geva, Ma'alat, it brings it up, Umekiyo, that's like a form of vomiting, Ochumimeya, from its stomach. Ma'zeret also, L'tokhtiyo, brings it into its mouth, L'kotcho, L'tokhano, Hade. And now it can chew it and grind it up very thoroughly. Now this is the This is Mala Gela. This Mala Gela, we find in cows. We find it in cows, sheep, and goats. It's the way they eat. Plus success, very interesting process. Achas de loso, this is what you can't eat. Mimale ha Gela, mafise ha part. What can't you eat from these? Tagomo, can't eat. Imala gero. Imala gero. Upar saying a mouth. It does not have a split hook. What? So Chazal tell us, you need a totally split hook, not a partially split hoof. And a camel's hoof is only partially split. Okay, so that's, but even though it chews its cut, with the multiple stomach system, it goes down, brings it up, etc. That's Hashofon. Why not? Hashofon is Ma'ale Geira Uparas Aloyar from Elulah. So I never involved some Ma'ale Geira. It's a Chazir. Because the Chazir has a split hoof. Shosah set the parts are totally split. Who gave a low yigor and it doesn't chew its cut. Tomei. Now, this is one parsha. There's another parsha in Re'e. What a shofan is, we will discuss. This gentleman believes it's a high rise. I mean, like a high rise. What? I said something like a high rise. we'll see this. How one learns Torah. Those have any more chefs, okay. This is what you can eat. Parsh and Ray. Sure, they saw him, they eat. I always see the Yaakov. Yaakov is deep shown us over them. Chobahema, my freshest part. He gives a list of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 animals. Okay, now. It says, Chobahema, my freshest part. Shosah shtei prosos malas gut by Behema. Osa sukhim. Can you eat it? It's Mafis Pasa, Shosah Shetza, and also Malas Gate. Now here's a very interesting pasuk. Achazer lo sofu. This is what you can't eat. Mimale hageira, umafise haparso hashusua. Hashusua. So Rashi says, even though this gentleman doesn't like it, barrier, separate animal. Sheish lo shnei gabin, sheish the draws. It has two spines, two backs. All the rabbis say, Nulam and Nishnu, Abahema, why the little man, Neha Shasua, because of the Shasua. But Ophos Neha Ra, why we have to repeat it? This whole parsha in Re'e, what is we have here, that will not exist in Parshmini Shesua. Tell me about the Shesua. Why? In Chazal says, Hagomot Hanef Hashofa. Okay. If you take a look in Shmini, there are four animals that have one simen. Gomel, the Chazir, the Arneves, and the Shofa. Here it talks that the fifth one, the Shesua. It's a very interesting animal. Now, the question is, where did Rashi get this? So let us read what this gentleman has to say. We want to understand what is the problem more than anything else with this guy. Now, Chazal tell us, four animals that have one simen, and only four animals one simen. So how are we to interpret that Maimon Chazal? So, Ramban says like this, also not a stupid individual. Call my friends as far as so, Shosah Shasa Prozos Malageva. Time I caught the Vazir, Shakol Behema, Shayu Bosh Nathimonim, I lolu toke. Wherever you see these two things, you can eat them. The low soap will be echo. And one of them, you can't eat. For your Rosh, Yoma came to Dirk Cloud. She said it to Dirk Cloud. Shapara, it said, I come, I shop, I never. Begir achad the population. Ain achirim ba'olam. No other animal in the world. B'sim echad levad. The only one simen. The possible exception of the shesua. Now, this gentleman calls to Yitzchak Karo. Told us Yitzchak. Tells us in case you never heard of it. Constantinople, 1580. Okay. Now, then, what about the Shesu? He says, as we noted earlier, the Talmud gives a surprising translation of the word Shesua, explaining it to be a type of animal. Now, when Rashi always tells us one thing. He's coming to deal with the Pshat. Now, what does Pshat mean? It's important to know what Pshat means, because people very often get confused. The Torah is Nidrish on levels of Pshat, Remish, Rashi, and so forth. Rashi understood he can be Dorish, the Torah Pshat, which might not necessarily be the simple-minded Havana, but it's what Chazal understood as being the Pshat in the Pasuk. When they took the etymology of the word, and they say the context of what it is according to Torah Shabbat, that Pshat. Rashi says, and then the Drash is Chazal, which are also true. That's on the Remez, Drash, and so. Rashi is, where is the Machlokas? A very important Machlokas. Between Rashi and the Rashbam, which guys like this always assume that the Rashbam does not believe in Torah Shabbat. There's a whole base medrash out there, that's the thing, you know. According to Rashi, looking at the technical origins of the word has nothing to do with Pshat. Therefore, that if you do that, you're not even getting into Lima Torah. It's Hebrew language. According to the Rashbam, there are two levels of Pshat. Torah is understood both on the literal meaning of the word and also on the Rashi level of Pshat, the two levels of Pshat. But not Chas V'Sholem, the Rashbam disagrees in any way that the Maimonides are valid, not the Pshat and the Pasuk. Now Pshat means something much more for the Rambam. Because according to the Rambam, you only get Malkus for the Pshat of the Pasuk. You don't get Malkus, something that's not Pshat. That's why the Rambam is very careful in defining what Perushim Hamukubol and Emotion Misinai. What is the Pshat of Ayin Tachas Ayin? So the Rambam says, in Perush Mishnah, Moshe Rabbeinu was told that at Har Sinai means Mom. And that's the Pshat in the Pasuk. Take a look in the Rambam, beginning of Hilchos Chovel or Masik. The Pshat in the Pasuk that we have in the Masorah is Mom. Then I'll try to show it to you independently of that, internally in the Pasuk. But that's not the reason I'm saying it. That's the Pshat. That is Remish, Rashi, and so. So Rashi says Hashesua means a separate type of animal. Rashi is not telling you this. Rabbi Seinu Dorsh. No. What is Rashi saying? Very, this is the Pshat. Now one would wonder what would have led anyone to say this. Not, I remember many years ago, 40 something years ago, but stands out very clearly in my mind. Parshas Re'eh, I was walking home from shul with my Rebbe Zichrono Livracha, and it was very exciting. So I finally understood what Chazal wanted in the Pasuk here. That my whole life I've been bothered, where did they see it? And just in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah, I finally have, what is it? Goes like, what would this gentleman like to interpret the Pasuk against Chazal? He says, Achazet lo tochlu, this is what you're not allowed to eat, imale hagera, from animals that you would cut, mafrise ha-parsa, ha-shesua. Shesua modified mafrise parsa. As hagomo. Okay. He says, Chazal, that doesn't fit, doesn't even fit with the trunk. Now, However, my Rebbe Zichrono Livracha pointed out to me at that point. Remember, he was very excited. A whole Shabbos, one Shabbos, all he could do was talk about. He finally understood this. There's a difference between a mercha and a tipcha. A mercha is not a pause. A mercha continues in to the next verse. A tipcha is not a tipcha. There are three types of stops in Torah. There's a self-pause that finishes an entire body of thought. It's a pasuk. The pasuk sometimes it's two pieces. When you have two separate statements within one pasuk, it's a tipcha that separates phrases. Now, if Hashasua would be going back on my Frisei Parsa Hashasua, then on Parsa there should be a mercha. But what is there on Parsa? There's a tipcha. My Frisei Parsa says Hashasua. It's a Shasua. That's our Gomo, that's our Neve, that's our Shop. Whether this is the what, how Chazal viewed it, not how Chazal viewed it. A person who understands that Chazal had a basic understanding, let's leave aside what the gentleman thinks Chazal understood the world of Messias. Here he's even taking on Chazal how they were darshing Psukim. Which, and whether this is the pshat because of the tipcha or not, it's a suggested pshat. What's the difference between what I just told you and my Rebbe Zichrono Livracha and this individual? My Rebbe Zichrono Livracha at that time was approximately 60 years old. He spent his life trying to understand Torah, and this is one of the things he's still trying to understand. I said, oh, I think I understood. This gentleman is mid-20s, already understood the Chazal Rock. This is a basic Mahala, why? What's wrong with this book? So let's read what this gentleman has to say about the Shasua. As noted earlier, Talmud gives a surprising translation of the word Shasua, explaining it to be a type of animal. It then states that this topic provides evidence for the Torah's divine origin. What does the Gemara in Chulin say? Omer of Chanan Barotha, Hashasua, Beri B'fnei Yatzme. Moshe Rabbeinu Kinigi Hoyo. Moshe Rabbeinu, a hunter, a blistri Hoyo, a trapper. This is an answer to people who say the Torah is not Neshemai. I mean, what did Chazal want from him? And what did this gentleman misunderstand? Now, before we go further, there is an important Rambam, which I believe that most of the people who authored his works sort of missed the boat. When I think about this individual, whether there is a retraction from the Rav Yashiv, he is a Kofi, he did not go big, I'm not the world's expert on it. In my gut, I believe he is. But I'm not, but I'm not saying it, I'm not posting it. Why do I believe he is? Remember, Rabbi Shurk and I were talking, reminiscing this week about a certain story that happened. There's a whole theory that some intellectuals have that the story of Nesar, of Pach HaShemen, never happened. They prove it this way from this Maim Chazal, this Maim Chazal. You know, nowadays, you're allowed. What do people do? When you say some crazy thing, they say it's for Kiruv. Chazal didn't talk for Kiruv. So then they come up with this thing, Nes Pach Hashem never happened, Chazal did it for Kiruv or something like that. I remember, there was one individual running around New York at the time. He was giving drashas, Nes Pach Hashem never happened. Chazal did it for whatever reason. He had all the reasons Chazal happened. So, someone called up my Rebbe Zichrono Livracha and said, asked him what he thought about someone who says that. My Rebbe Zichrono Livracha quoted, the Rambam says, in the definition of his truth, what could be into it. Bible says like this. יוחס תשובה, יוחס המתאבן. סגן. מעט פניסת תשובה, נעוזן יוחס תשובה. Raman brings one of them is Hamatrish Magidel, someone who is Matrish Chazal, what Chazal say. Now, means we have a Maseira. We have a Minah Maseira. We know that at this stage of history, we know Darshan Pesukim by ourselves. Chazal had a Maseira, had a Darshan Pesukim. And we do not necessarily understand everything that went into Chazal Darshan Pesukim. That's part of the general Maseira of Chazal. That is what someone who comes along and begins questioning, well, I really don't see. It's not really the pshat and pasuk what Chazal say. Rashi, when he says this is pshat, really didn't understand how pshat and pasuk can go. Very close. He's playing brinksmanship with Master Shmagidah. Now, that's first. Now, what does Chazal mean? Chimoksha Rabbeinu Kinigi Hoya, Oblistri Hoya. Mikan Shuva Lo'ome in Torah Mene Shemai. Tosus explains the intent of the Talmud's argument to be that Moshe could not have been familiar with such an animal, such an unusual creature, as a Shesua, unless the Torah was finally dictated. But this is extremely perplexing, to say the least, because the straightforward understanding of this verse, otherwise known as Pshat, that the word Shesua simply means separate or split, not describing a new type of animal. You would think, and he gives all the reasons why it was not the Pshat and the Possum. This also seems to be supported by the cantillation trope of the verse, which connects with the previous words, rather than the following words, the snake is a tipcha, not a merch. Okay. Furthermore, all the reasons Chazal are wrong here. The word Shesua is not preceded by the prefix S, as are the camel, hair, and hyrax. Thus, the indications in the text itself are that Shesua is not a type of animal. The Maral, where are you? Provides one minor argument. I didn't see that. Couldn't really make a difference. Chazal said I don't need the Maral to explain it. The word refers to a type of animal. It does not count to the numerous powerful arguments against it. Other means, the Maral says this, that's a weak argument. What I say is powerful. So, I have a cousin who lives in Chicago, with Moshe Soloveitchik. He and I have one standing with two people who are arguing about a certain person, whether he's a Russia or a Shaitan. So my cousin, his Moshe, said, Peter Folkham said to these people, not a steal. The Rambam writes about someone who's Mora Hara, Shlohi Gila Hara, someone who passed in Shailas when he's not on the right level, Russia showed to the Gatsuach. If you're Gatsuach, you can be both a Russian and a Shota simultaneously. This individual here, and this is really why I think these books are improper. Any individual writes quote in the name of Torah who decides that the Maimon Chazal that isn't really what the Pesuk is talking about. And when Chazal said this, as he says later, their logic is flawed. Someone who can say that about Chazal Tavon of a Pasuk has nothing to do with he knows zoology, doesn't know. He's lacking in a basic understanding of what Torah Shabbatai is. It reminds me, my Rebbe Zichron Lebrach was once saying a shir, and he was working very hard trying to explain certain Ramban Muhammad. And he's mamish just after 2-3 hours, just frustration of the Ramban, not really getting his hands on it. Some intelligent individual raised his hand and said, Rebbe, maybe the Ramban is wrong. To which my Rebbe Zichron Lebrach sort of smiled at him. He said, no, you don't get the point. And whenever he got emotional, he would swing into Yiddish. He saw the Ramban gehad, the golden cup. We know Ramban had a wonderful mind. And now I have a choice, he said, saying, if I'm Krum or the Ramban's Krum. But that's not a choice. I begin with the assumption, I'm Krum, and Ramban was right. And now I'm just trying to figure out what is my job in understanding this Ramban, trying to understand where I'm Krum. And that's what my Havana in the Ramban is all about. And when I say I can't figure it out, I don't mean that something's wrong with Ramban. I can't figure out where my logic that is now seems to go against Ramban, where my logic is crumb. That's my thing. When I'll understand where my logic is crumb, then I'll have a Havana in the Ramban. Here's an individual who sets himself up. Well, let's see if Chazal Pshat the Pasuk is really the meaning of the Pasuk. So there's the Gemara. And what Rashi Pshat is really Pshat. Forget everything you know about the law. Anyone who begins like that is ending up wrong. Now, of course, what do Chazal mean? That the refutation of one who says the Torah is not from heaven. Refutation to whom? And who are you arguing about? There is, again, someone who's about to say, I'm going to go out and prove to people out there that Torah is Min HaShemayim. When I told you the story, when I lived in Los Angeles with an individual, sort of well-meaning person, didn't understand what it meant to make people from. He called me up once and said, to make the world from, I'm going to stand and answer everybody's questions. I said, how do you make people from? Most people don't have questions, they don't care. Okay. So, what does it mean? There is what's called, supposedly in the world of philosophy, but this gentleman, busy with zoology, is unaware of, the proof of design. How do you prove that God created the world? Just look at the world, how it all comes together. Everything is just perfectly organized, coordinated. If it was, the world was sort of Hefker, how could it all come together in such a coordinated way? What is that really a statement of? A mamin who believes in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he looks at the Bria, the incredible Chochmah of the Bria, just stands in the spot. But if you begin from the point of view of being a kofer, and that is your Yesod Emunah, not to prove it to anybody. But if someone stands and says yes, is there something that I can tell myself that's a further indication that Torah Min HaShemayim? It's not that beginning, well, the kofer doesn't believe in Torah Shabbat Shabbat. So you're going to say, well, Torah Shabbat Shabbat tells me this. If you want to see the totality of Torah and the impressiveness of Torah, so then, yes, the totality of Torah, how Torah can encompass the entire Bria, and the Torah is telling me about animals that could not have been known to Moshe Rabbeinu. Yes, that will impress the Ma'amin as yeah. It all comes together. The Torah encompasses the entire Bria. But it doesn't mean that you go to a discovery seminar and say, I'm going to prove it to you. What is the purpose of anything that's at all sort of dislodge a person? But it doesn't mean it's a proof. Chazal knew very well what a proof is. And Chazal didn't mean either proofs to be used at discovery seminars. Discovery seminars are much too simple, but Chazal and their infinite wisdom are talking about that. Chazal say if a person will stop and understand how Torah, and they will see that as we go through, makis the entire Bria, gives you a havana for the entire Bria, then that, and includes things that could not have been known at that point to any human being. That's the biggest sense of the Darnash. Now, in order to get there, a person has to have a tremendous haracha for Torah. They should begin from the point of view that the Torah includes all the chokhmah of the Bria. And then you begin to see as Torah unravels how Mamash includes all the chokhmah of the Bria. Then, that's the biggest answer to our nation. I remember, well, 30 years ago, I was living in Chicago. Certain Hill rabbi in Northwestern University called me up. He wanted to make a seminar on Jewish medical ethics for all the Jewish doctors in the medical school, the nurses, the medical students, Hakol. And he needed, besides the medical people, needed some rabbis who knew about Jewish issues to speak to Jewish. So we had a first meeting. At the first meeting, we were dividing up, each person was going to speak about different things. And there was one doctor who jumped up, began screaming, yelling, "What is the system that was developed 2,000 years ago have to tell me about how I'm supposed to deal with my medical practice?" He made fun that there could be anything Yiddishkeit that all could give him an insight. Well, at that point I was young and never refused the challenge at that point. So I said, I turned to the gentleman, I said, "Professor, Doctor, XYZ, what is your field?" He was big in kidney transplant. I said, "Fine, we'll both present a paper together. You'll present one on kidney transplant, and I'll present one on kidney transplant." Okay, that's how I got into some small understanding of medical ethics and kidney transplant. So for the next 2 months, I sat and I studied, first of all, enough papers on kidney transplants to understand what the issues were, and my halacha was about it. And this gentleman then, I allowed him, I told him, since he was a distinguished senior professor, I was allowed him to speak first. So he spoke first, talking everything about a great wonder of science of kidney transplant, and the primitive understanding of all the people who understood, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then, that's why I went that very carefully, went through all the moral issues of kidney transplant, all the halachas involved, et cetera. Presenting in a lotion that was. And then I turned to him at the end. I said, "Professor Doctor, do we have anything to say? Most people don't understand how halacha has anything to say about anything. Because A, they begin with a very negative attitude, and they don't understand the totality of Torah to see, understand the threat and wisdom, the gavus of what Torah is all about." And then they sort of have this little thing and this little thing, and simple-minded, I always think about it, it's called Internet Torah. You go into the Internet Torah, all the Chelis people, you really want to understand what Chelis is about, you go onto the Internet, you type in Chelis, boom, you have all the articles, why all these backward, primitive, Haredi, ignoramuses, so semi-cavemen don't understand what Chelis is about. But, you want to understand Chazal's position, you're flat. Okay, you go on the internet, and all these people going through all these Maimori Chazal, the Zayas, the Abiyah Kodesh Kinilu, all these people understand. See, I at least, I know what I understand, I know what I don't understand. But you read it, everyone has it out of the Abiyah Kodesh and the Zayas, the word is that. It's round, it's flat, it's upside down, it's, who knows what it is. It's a semicircle, it's a quadrangular, who knows what. Anyway, it's all it. Yeah, if you there's only one real gear tool that ever works. The person understands the godless Torah, what it is. That's what Chazal is trying to say. You want to understand that Moshe Rabbeinu was giving a Torah that encompassed the entire world. Gave a clock. The entire Bria was involved in it. Even things that could not have been known. Once you understand the blessed with the faith. That's the biggest argument someone says. Thank you, Rav Shemaya. Yes, there is a Shesua. Whether we can find it or this individual who figures that we now know every animal and he has a whole chapter here. It's the Shesua this, the Shesua that, the Shesua this, the Shesua that. What? It's not a question what the Shesua is, because I'm willing to grant that everyone, most normal, intelligent people, and it's a big world. You don't know everything in this world. And people who think they know everything in this world, other people, because why do they think they know everything in this world? Because they don't know anything. But a person who can begin, and what's the essential problem with this author, that he knows it all. And now he is sitting on a bed, judging Chazal Darshan the Pasuk this way, Chazal Darshan the Pasuk that way. Chazal's logic is good and Chazal's logic is wrong. Misom Chashav Tzav HaShofim. Now, and that is, I said, I'm surpassing whether this guy is a Makash Magidel or not Makash Magidel. Nothing to do with the world of 6 days old, 6 million years old, 600 billion years old. That's, as we discussed last time, that's a very sophisticated, essentially Kabbalah issue. Nothing to do with science, nothing to do with anything. And there are all the different sheets on it, it's not here to place. But a person can begin and say, that let's evaluate Chazal Tavona for Pasuk. I think it doesn't fit in, it's not really the Pshat in the Pasuk. After all, the Tav goes this way, and of course there's this, and Rashi understood Unklus. You have to understand another thing about why, when he calls it Unklus, he doesn't begin to understand what Unklus is about. And that's the danger of really simple-minded people throw a lot of knowledge out. When Rashi talks about Pshat in the Pasuk, Rashi understood he's taking Torah Shabbat that into account. One of the confusing things that people sometimes have about Unklus, his Pshat and Pasuk has nothing to do with a lot of Torah Shabbat. Does it mean that Chas V'Sholem Unklus can believe in Torah Shabbat? Because I'll say that Unklus is Yisinai, so they understood that he takes into account Torah Shabbat. So why? Because what was the first book that was written down in history of Klal Yisrael was Targum. Targum Unklus was written down before Rabbeinu HaKodesh wrote down the Mishnah. And before there was a hetzer of writing down Torah Shabbat, Unklus was written down. Unklus is what the Pshat and the Pasuk is according to the Torah Shabbat Ksav without Torah Shabbat. And because that is what Unklus is about. Not the substitute for Torah Shabbat Peh, but tell you the Pshat and the Pasuk according to Torah Shabbat Ksav. Then along comes Torah Shabbat Peh. Says, but we have a Messiah. That says different. I would translate word by word, as I said before, the difference between Rashi and Rashbam. That's what Unklus is coming in, because Unklus was written down before Torah Shabbat. According, when the Gemara says that this is the Pshat and the Pasuk, that's one level of Pshat. Unklus of Pshat is a different level of Pshat and Chayim. That's why this individual saying, well, I'm going to show the Chazal, the Gemara isn't giving you the Pshat and the Pasuk. Rashi is not giving you the Pshat and the Pasuk because Unklus is different. So the Ke'ilu is the Machlokes in Rashi and Unklus. Chas V'Sholem. Just because he's an Asif Pasuk doesn't mean Rashi is such an Asif Pasuk. Rashi very often says, Kitarguma. What does Rashi mean when he says Kitarguma? Rashi says, my definition of Pshat overlaps with Unklus' definition of Pshat for different purposes, different types of Pshat. That's all it is. Sometimes we overlap, sometimes we don't overlap. But to see that Chas V'Sholem Rashi was saying that Unklus, Rashi didn't put himself in such a position that he's being called Chas V'Sholem. Just defining different levels. To assume that Rashi was the absolute upon him, when I read this, I said, Unklus and Rashi. Remind me of a famous story of Chaim Shmuel. Once, someone spread some rumors in Meir Yeshiva of Chaim Shmuel just used Nibble Pell. And it was really to hear. You know how these rumors go, and then everyone in Meir Yeshiva is discussing, you know, Chaim Shmuel does use Nibble Pell, doesn't use Nibble Pell. It was a very uncomfortable situation. So for a few days, Chaim Shmuel was in conversation. Came in Yeshiva next time, when he was supposed to give one of his musicians. He gave a very classic musician. Chazonos HaShas, those parts of Shas that are left out by the censor, story of also Yish and Rabbi Shua ben Prach. One day, Rabbi Shua ben Prach is walking down the street with also Yish. A beautiful woman walks down the street, and Rabbi Shua ben Prach, he makes a bracha of the Gabbos HaBoi, created such beautiful creatures in the world. She's also Ish responded with a slightly off-color comment. And says, Rabbi Shua ben Prach looked at him, said something, not the guy on summons, absolutely wiped the guy out. The man. Now, Chaim Shmulevitz said, that if he's an artist's point of saying, well, Chazal this way, so he thinks Rashi is the same thing. Things from my Mechar Chazal this way. Chaz v'sholem. Not that Rashi questioned my Mechar Chazal. Not that he said, well,